What's going on? What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Vunganyi right here in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami. Thanks for joining us. We love to have you on board. This is Upfront on the Voice of America. Hot, hot.
Upfront is a show that explores issues
that affect your daily lives. Don't move that dial. Get your snacks, get your cup of tea or your cup of coffee. Put your feet up. This is Upfront. cheers. Clink, clink. We engage you, the listener, and interact on a different topic each week. We've got loads of good tunes, lovely music, and lots of analysis to keep you going.
And interviews from experts or you young people telling us what you think about our daily topic.
That's always the best part of the show, Jackson, to hear what the listeners have to say. There's always lots of juicy comments and lots of different perspectives. Absolutely,
so stay tuned. Welcome to Upfront on the Voice of America. My name is Jackson Vunganyi. Now, for many years, the perception of Africa in the Western world was driven by the 19th century expression that Africa was a dark continent. But we're in the 21st century, and with all the information and knowledge about the continent, you would think that some of those myths and negative perceptions about Africa would have been debunked by now. Unfortunately, that's not the case. And for many in the West, that 19th century mindset still informs their understanding of the continent. There's a clear disconnection between the transformation we have seen in the last decade and how people in the West still view the continent. There are those who argue that there is reason for some of these persistent negative perceptions. The continent has indeed seen its share of conflict, and some countries are still struggling with pockets of violence, war, hunger, disease, etc. The recent Ebola outbreak in West Africa has only compounded some of these negative perceptions. But by concentrating on these old, worn-out narratives of the continent, many overlook the different milestones around the continent. For example, the economies in many sub-Saharan countries have been growing at an unprecedented rate, some faster than their Western counterparts. Figures show that Africa now has one of the fastest-growing middle classes. Access to technology has improved the lives of millions of people, and various UN reports show a significant progress in maternal and child health, progress in the fight against poverty and hunger, and many other significant positive metrics. There's obviously still pockets of conflict and political instability, but overall, there's a positive trajectory that can't be overlooked. The Africa of 1994 is far different from that of 2014. And perceptions in the West should reflect that progress. The change in mindset would be good for the West. It would also be good for Africa. So let's try to address some of the causes of this disconnect that continue to perpetuate the old worn-out stereotypes about the African continent. This is Upfront on the Voice of America.
I think the media has played a role in the way people view Africa. Much as bad governance is there, but still the way the media portrays it to the world. Because when you talk of bad governance, even in the West, even in the East, the leaders were bad. But why Africa only?
I think it's bad leadership that makes the West to have bad image of Africa. I think if the leaders have a positivity in their leadership, it will be much better. Our image will be much better.
Speaking like someone who is living outside, I see like racism is still there. They look at a black person like they're looking at a failure, and they think you're poor. That means your knowledge itself is poor. But this is not true. You see, we have some of the black people, some people from Africa who have achieved something, who have put something on the map. You see, so it's all about giving us chance, giving the youth chance, and see what they can do.
There's this side of the Western media which is happy to show the always bad side of Africa, not giving a lot of time to the little or few development programs which are successful in Africa. They are very good successful stories to be told, but they are given a little time in the Western media so that people can always see Africa as it has always been.
Upon the foundation before it. Huh. These ancient thoughts, this ancient love, these ancient hearts, these ancient souls, these ancient men traded
cattle. I'm Ezra Nasangwa from Kigali, Rwanda. I think there are two sides on that story. Yes, there are bad things happening in Africa, but there are also good things happening. So whoever reports the bad side of Africa has stories and have evidence to prove his stories.
My name is Caleb from National University of Rwanda, doing economics, but option of development economics. Who is responsible for the image of Africa? Africans, we are responsible for the image of Africans. But then, I would say the media is the one that tells the media of Africa. Yeah, the media paints the image of Africa. They can decide Africa is good, they can decide Africa is bad.
My name is Rusaka Tadeo Kigali, Rwanda. I'm very much concerned how my continent is viewed. Hutanish is written in the West to some extent. It's both the media and readership, because sometimes African leaders are characterized by dictatorship and not giving their citizens the rights to choose or to make their own choices.
Thank you for joining us today on Upfront on the Voice of America. Our topic today is the perception that Africa holds in the West. Many say the perception is often negative and doesn't reflect the progress that the continent has made over the last two decades, doesn't really reflect the positive strides being made on the continent. Now, African political and economic leaders complain that the West unfairly perceives the continent solely as a place that is awash with conflict, coups, and deadly diseases, when in reality the majority of countries can absorb new investment to build new roads and health systems and develop a new generation of leaders. There is that capacity in Africa, and that is being done. We see that being done on a daily basis. But how do we begin to change that negative perception that Africa has in many parts of the world? That's our topic today.
Nadia, many observers say that Africa is a mixed basket, whereas there has been successes on many fronts, from improved health systems, democratic transformation in many countries, reduced poverty levels, etc. I can name so many. There's a lot of great things that are happening on the continent, yet there are still issues that are still affect or pervade the continent, that and those drive the narrative about the continent. Things like poor leadership, the conflict, to name but a few. Yet we have seen the negatives tend to be amplified and projected to the outside world more than the positives. And so that's the narrative, and the West has come to buy into. The question is, how can we change that? TMS Rouge is a blogger and comments on issues related to African development. I called him up in Toronto, Canada. I started off by asking him why there was such a pushback against the Band Aid 30 charity single that was recently released by British pop star Bob Geldof.
Well, one of the things that I think is apparently very clear is that there's a new narrative on the continent, and there's a new Africa rising that we're really not talking about, and that is an African agency. And that is our ability to get to the microphone and be able to say, hey, wait a minute, what you're saying about my continent, what you're saying about my country, my culture, my people is actually completely outdated. And we are beginning to offer a new narrative and a new perspective that wasn't there maybe 30 years ago, or even during, Joseph Conrad's time during, when he wrote, The Dark Continent. As time goes on, I think what we're seeing is Africans getting up and saying, we have a story to tell, and it's a completely different perspective than what you've had and have gotten used to. And the people that are writing the stories about the continent are now Africans. They're not, international authors who are going to the continent for a day and all of a sudden becoming experts. They are Africans, and technology is allowing us to get to the microphone and be able to tell that different story and kick back against, really rotten and old narratives about the continent. And it's really good to see that happening now during the Ebola crisis, where we're beginning to say, hey, look, It is a massive continent. Ebola only affects a small aspect of that. And even at that, we're not helpless. We are also at the forefront of doing something about the crisis.
And how do these negative perceptions affect the continent or its people?
Well, obviously, very badly. I mean, because the continued narrative as the continent that constantly needs to be helped, that continent that is continually infantilized by the rest of the world, is that this continent is basically childlike and can't help itself through its own crises. And I think that affects how we feel about ourselves and how we see who is responsible for coming to rescue us in each and every situation. And, in situations like this where Africans are hearing other Africans tell the world that, hey, you know what? We are fully capable of actually doing this. And it's coming at a critical time. When you look at just the way the continent is riding into the future, we have massive uptake in technology that is enabling us to be connected to each other and to be connected to the rest of the world. And we also have a very vulnerable demographic where, 500 million youth under the age of 15 are wanting to look up to someone that, looks like them. They're looking for African voices to be out there to tell them about their culture, about their strength, and what they're capable of. So, during this vulnerability, we need to hear more African voices get up there and talking about development, talking about and fighting for economic rights on the global economic trading platforms, as well as, in the stories that are being told about the continent. That is very, very important for a very young continent that is looking to its own future and must actually begin to look at itself as a savior in its own fight for equal representation around the world.
Right. And speaking of agency, you are part of an initiative, an effort called Africa Responds. Can you tell us about this?
Well, Africa Responds, was an initiative in which we thought that, the people who are really important in this fight, the people who were originally there, who were at the forefront of, fighting back the Ebola response, were the local community health workers that were within the communities, local organizations who were responding, helping families deal with these things, helping families with burials, helping families get to the hospital. Those were the workers that truly needed the response. What we saw was yet another Haiti happening and in progress, where international organizations were getting all the funding, and much of it was, tied up in logistics and international response strategies. And we didn't see enough of a response for those local organizations who were suffering under enormous responsibilities. So we put together Africa Response as a platform to be able to say to the world, hey, look at these organizations who are already doing the work that they're doing, who are great at being first responders within their community. They could use some real help. These are the real heroes within this fight. And actually, as of this morning, it was great to see that Time magazine appointed them as the person of the year. And that's how, that's how important we thought they were. It's good to see that they're getting the local, the global recognition that they deserve. So, we'd really like to see a lot of financial support also going to them, to back up that global recognition.
Thank you very much, TMS Rouge, a blogger. If you want to find more about some of his works, the website is tmsrouge.com.
And if you'd like to find more information on Africa Response, that's africaresponse.org.
So the media does play a very important role because that is the primary point of information access. And we cannot overlook the importance of media in perpetuating some of the myth or the misinformation about the African continent. Vincent Makori is a veteran reporter here with the Voice of America. Patrick Dare is a commentator on African issues. I had them in the studio and we discussed some of the issues related to the role of media in perpetuating some of the misconceptions or the perceptions about the African continent.
First, I know one thing. The media is more concerned with the story that sells. The international media or the international media that covers Africa and beams those images to the Western world wants to perpetuate the kind of images and notion that is out there because it's popular, because that's what people want to know.
It sells.
It does sell. One of, I think, the biggest challenges that has always confronted the media is being truthful, being honest about what is real and what is fictitious. You tend to feel like there's always been a conspiracy to kind of consign Africa to that age-old kind of place where it is supposed to be a continent of misery, a continent of savages, and a continent that to some degree is hopeless. And because that is what is in the back of the minds of those who go to Africa and cover the continent, even when they see the reality, when the reality looks at them in the eyes, they just refuse to see it. And they write the story that lives in their heads and their minds.
Okay, leaving alone just the craft, because what bleeds, leads.
It sells.
That's just the mantra that we use in the business.
Yes.
Unfortunately, and so that there's a tendency that we tend to show the negative and in we favor the negative over the positive attributes of the continent.
Yes.
But Dea, let me ask you about certain stereotyping that is not media related. Because there are people who consume information not necessarily through media channels. But let's go back a little bit to when Africa was called the Dark Continent, that narrative and how it has come to live on in the minds of the people.
I think, as Vincent has said, because of media, that the Dark Continent image still lingers on very, very, it's very present in a lot of people's minds. Because, again, the only link that you see with Africa is things of violence, starvation, droughts, coups, the civil wars, and whatnot. And yet, when you look at the world around, these things happen everywhere. We just had a very long, civil war in Ireland. You had a big war in the Scandinavian countries, the Kosovo and whatnot. And yet, that in itself, you still have this idea that these bad things only happen in Africa.
But the continent itself has not really helped it. There has been over many years after, post-colonial Africa, where people have not helped really the story of Africa. I'm talking about the leadership.
Yeah. I mean, I have to say that the biggest enemies of Africa, Africa's development, Africa's image internationally, are their leaders. And it's something that should be said from the mountaintops because it is the truth. In the conspiracy of keeping Africa's image as that of misery and populated by savages and backward people, you feel like the leaders are in the game. Why? Because over the years, it's about 50 years since most countries got their independence. Progressively, you've seen that political leaders especially have continued to themselves lead their countries down a road of destruction, deliberately refusing to help the continent get itself up and moving, even when the potential is there, when all the possibilities are there.
Sometimes our journalists also exaggerate situations in Africa, but still, even in countries or in areas where we see perfect leaders and perfect journalists, sometimes even the West have a negative perception about how things are done in Africa. A negative perception, not necessarily that it's done bad, but maybe in their interest, they even tarnish the good to the bad.
Like these humanitarian organizations, we have a lot of NGOs who make money on African demise. So they're happy to project the bad side of Africa so that they could keep on getting the funds they are getting from wherever they are getting them. They will never tell a good story of Africa because that will limit their funds. But there are also others who are doing it for the sake of doing it because they are, those bad stories need to be told. I would also say both poor leadership in Africa and the biased side of media. Because to be sincere, we have poor leaders in Africa instead of putting forward their country's needs and trying to solve them. They have put forward their interests, they have built their dynasties.
Thank you for sending your opinions to all of you who sent in thoughts about this important topic. Thank you so much for your comments. We appreciate you as always and your input being part of the show. We love to hear from you. So if you're just joining us, this is Upfront on the Voice of America. I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg in South Africa. Jackson Vungani is in Washington, D.C. We're talking about the perception about Africa in other parts of the world, but particularly in the West. Most of it is often negative, and we're hoping that this generation of young Africans can change that, right, Jackson? We understand that we still have a lot to do to show the world that Africa has changed and is changing and is evolving. But what we would like to see is less of that image of Africa on. There's that certain image of Africa when there are stories about Africa or whatever the case may be, we always see that image, whether it's a starving child, poverty, war, conflict, you know.
African has been portrayed in a negative way in the outside world, like in the West and in the Europe, for the past decades. I think it's because of the way we ourselves, the Africans, have been like, we're not able to go outside and show what we have. We Africans ourselves have contributed to the bad image that other continents have on Africa.
Nadia, many say that the perception of the continent is driven by the media. But others say that it goes beyond the inadequacies and biases of those reporting on the continent to what one analyst has called sociocultural factors that lead to stereotyping that is rife in Western collection and dissemination of information about Africa. On the line with me is Nicole Ametifio. She is the creator of an African series, a web series called An African City, currently in Accra, Ghana, if I'm correct. Is that where you are, Nicole?
Yes, okay. I'm based in Accra, Ghana.
And you lived in Washington, D.C. for quite a while and worked here.
Yeah.
Young filmmaker like yourself, moved back. Tell me about this project, this web series, An African City.
Yeah, well, five years ago, I was watching an old version of Sex and the City. And I just thought to myself, what would an African version of the show be like? Because Sex and the City is such a liberating show for women, that I said to myself, well, how would African women feel about their own show? So I had that idea, and I went and created it. And a pilot episode is out now on YouTube.
So the image of the African woman that we see here in the West is a woman with a basket on her head.
Exactly.
Or a jerrycan of water, you know, coming from the well, or selling tomatoes on the street. How do you hope to project the African woman in your web series?
Well, what you'll see when you watch a pilot episode is that these are five beautiful, successful women. They've all returned to the continent for career and business opportunities, and the entrepreneurial, and that's the side of African women I wanted to show. Successful, intelligent women. Now, in the pilot episode, they talk a lot of nonsense, so some people might perceive that as not being intelligent, but they certainly are five beautiful, successful, intelligent African women.
They basically engage in small talk like everybody does.
Yes, over
cocktails. I wouldn't call that nonsense. It's just small talk, or a small banter that everybody does in every community around the world.
Exactly. Makes us no different than other women around the world, exactly.
And I'm sure that's what you're trying to project, that is that, you know, even though we are Africans, we're actually the same as people in the U.S. or anywhere else in the world.
Yes. In fact, go ahead. In fact, even the image of, when you look at the pilot episode, you'll see a hip lounge that they are in. And most people don't see Africa as a place that you go to and are in a hip lounge, a hip bar area. You know, once again, they just see, you know, women with pots on the heads or women carrying water for 5 miles. No, these are, once again, successful women in a type of an urban city you typically do not see in Western media.
Now, let me ask you, because I've talked to other filmmakers like yourself, young filmmakers, and I've seen this movement to try and rebrand the continent, to basically make over and change the perception that the West has, or people outside the continent have, about Africa and Africans. How effective is film in doing this?
It's great, you know. To change perceptions, you need stories. I look at Chimamanda and, you know, her TED Talk where she talks about Africa is not one single story. However, only one single story is often told. So us as filmmakers, we need to tell different stories. And you know what? When you don't like a story, don't complain. Do something about it. And that's how I felt. I felt like I could complain all I want about how the Western media portrays African women or African people in general, but I can either just rant and rave and criticize, or I can do something about it.
And this is you doing something about it.
Exactly. And filmmakers have that role to do something about it.
Okay, but there are still other opposing images that still kind of counter and fall into the narrative of the continent. Mm-hmm. And some of them are actually from the filmmakers. I'm a fan of the Nollywood film industry, but it hasn't really done much in showing the positive side of the African continent.
True. I think we'll get there, though. Unfortunately, the thing with stereotypes, though, and I'm sorry if people hate me for this comment, but the thing about stereotypes, though, they come from some kind of truth, right? They come from somewhere. And so even when I'm trying to create stories, I mean, some of the best work in film I see on this continent, even though the quality is great in terms of the visuals, it's still maybe telling a story of war, poverty, famine. But I think as we progress in this industry, I think you'll see that you'll get more projects which are not only of high quality production, but there will be a different story also told.
And let me ask you, as somebody who has lived in Washington, D.C., lived in the West, and you move back now, what is it that the world misses when they get stuck into that one single story or one single narrative about Africa?
Well, the thing is, I actually do not mind if the West doesn't understand it. I think I'm more interested in making sure that the African diaspora in the West are made aware that there is more to Africa than what they see on their TV screens. Mm. I think there are just so many business opportunities here in the continent that I want to see more African diasporas return to the continent. One of my friends calls it the reasporans. I want to see the reasporans in Africa. I want them to know that the story portrayed by Western media, if they're not hearing it from their grandmother, if they're not hearing it from their parents who might still be on the continent, it's not the Africa they see on TV. And there's so many opportunities for them, career opportunities, business opportunities, creative opportunities. They should come home and explore what those opportunities are. One love, what about the
one? Thank you very much for listening to Upfront on the Voice of America. I would like to thank my co-host Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. We would also like to thank all our listeners who contributed to the show this time around. And if you have any questions or comments or want to contribute to the show in future, remember to send us an email at upfront@voanews.com. If you want to connect with me on Twitter, my handle is at upfront. Upfront Africa. Let's connect again next week, right here, same time. On behalf of my colleague Nadia Sami, my name is Jackson Vunganyi. Goodbye. And I will be-